Joseph R. Bannister is our guest for these 3 hours, preceded by Malcolm Out Loud earlier. And I got to tell you, the theme of the program tonight is you need to become involved, become aware. Stand up straight, stand on your hind legs, and prove you have a backbone, because there's a lot of stuff going on right under our noses that is just patently illegal, unconstitutional, and unacceptable. And somebody asked a very good question a while ago, which is, we're supposed to have an income tax to supplant or otherwise supplement the creation of money out of thin air. It's like, isn't it amazing that the systems seem to be increasingly complicated, and eventually the average citizen just gives up and assumes, well, they must know what they're doing, so okay. So is this why we need an income tax to enable us to create money out of thin air, rather than just a use tax, just a general VAT or a flat tax? We'll explore a little bit of that, and I'm also very curious to know how, after Joe Bannister investigated the improper application of the IRS tax code, what the reaction of his supervisors were. I want to hear about that. If you go on over to the coasttocoastam.com website, you will see a row over existence of Loch Ness breaks out among tourist bosses. China could supplant the U.S. as the supercomputing superpower. Well, of course, they learn from the best. That would be us. So I guess we'll just have to up our game a little. The monster of the old hall, that's from Mysterious Universe, and a prehistoric-looking horse roaming China's plains again. And if you look around on the net, you'll find an interesting story about a lost city and a holy temple, a mist-covered mountain in Cambodia, gives up its treasure. Apparently, there was a civilization there that was thriving like crazy about 1,200 years ago, only to fall down and provide wonder for the discoverers that it once existed. I certainly hope the U.S. doesn't go that way, but you never know. It appears, looking back over this archaeological data, that has happened many times. Rise and fall, everything's cyclical. Or as they used to say in the 80s, circular. Gosh, I miss the 80s sometimes. We'll be right back with Joe Bannister in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Joe Bannister, I take it that when you conducted your investigation as to the federal income tax being improperly administered and enforced, this was not met with smiles and well done, lad, from your superiors there at the IRS.
Well, you've got that right, John. It was not very well received. Basically, from my standpoint, I realized that it wouldn't be gladly received, but I looked at it this way. I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Every one of my fellow agents and my bosses, we all took the same oath. And we all were subject to the same Treasury rules of conduct. We were all subject to the same, you know, memorandums from the commissioner telling us to report fraud, waste, and abuse. You know, most of the people in my office claimed to be Christians, you know, people that had ethics and morals. And so I thought, well, this is going to be kind of an awkward situation, but we all have to do the right thing here. And the right thing is to, at a minimum, help me understand why all of this evidence indicates that, you know, the IRS is lying to the public. And, you know, granted, I may have gone wrong here in my analysis, but, I mean, you trust me to carry this gun and badge around. You hired me because I was a CPA. Everybody in the office thinks that I'm a pretty stand-up guy and wants me to assist them, you know, whether it be going through boxes of evidence or breaking down a door and a search warrant. I felt that, hey, we have to wrestle with this and get it resolved. And the response I got was a very bewildered look, like, you know, are you, and actually the chief in my office said, are you really serious about this? Like, you really want me to send this up the chain of command and see what they, how they respond? And I said, absolutely, this is a serious matter to me. And I've thought about it, prayed about it, and I need to have some kind of response. And so the response I got from my supervisors was that they would not be responding to any of my concerns, they would not be addressing any of the information that I presented, and that they would provide me with the paperwork necessary to tender my resignation. And they immediately sent me home for 7 days of administrative leave, took my firearm, took my card key to the office, and sent me home. And so for a week, I had to think about, I've read about the nasty things that can happen to people who stick around, like, planting drugs in your desk and, sure. and on and on. And so I thought that, I had a very good reputation, a good paper trail to document that good reputation. And I thought maybe it might be safer if I just left so that I could speak more freely and leave with my reputation intact, so I might have a better chance of being believed. So that's what happened on February 25th, 1999. I went ahead and resigned, and I prepared a very detailed resignation letter, which I have on the internet. If people go to agentfortruth.com, I've got a lot of my resignation documents, and they can check them out for free and just see the story as it unfolded, where basically I had to resign from my position as a federal criminal investigator in order to abide by my oath.
That's extraordinary. So was there any blowback after you left? Or did they leave you alone?
Not immediately. Basically, throughout 1999, 2000, 2001, I was joined up with a group called We the People Foundation back in New York. And this Bob Scholes, who's the chairman of that foundation, did an incredible job of, going to the National Press Club. And we went to the Congress. We met with Trent Lott, who was a Senate Majority Leader then, Dennis Hastert, actually physically met with these people. I went to the White House with Bob Scholes and to talk to President Clinton's chief economic advisor and gave them the evidence of all this wrongdoing. And, so we really bent over backwards to try to go to them, take the battle to D.C. and show them the evidence. And what ended up happening was I ended up being prosecuted. They indicted me. The Department of Justice indicted me on 4 felony counts and basically tried to put me in prison and silence me. And that's a story in and of itself.
And that's unbelievable. You don't have to respond to this. You don't want to, but we charge you with what exactly?
Oh, no, I'm happy to. I was charged with 4 felony counts. 3 of them were the preparation of a false federal amended income tax returns for a client. So there were 3 different tax returns, and so I had a count for each one of the 3. And then the 4th charge was conspiracy to defraud the United States of America. And the basic premise for their charges against me was that I worked with a client and conspired with that client to impede, impair, and obstruct the quote-unquote lawful functions of the Internal Revenue Service. And so basically, my client who wanted to, let me back up just a bit. The IRS will tell the public, they always tell the public, there's something called the refund method. And the refund method is basically this. If you have a problem with the income tax, pay the money first and then sue for a refund. Well, that's exactly what my client did. And he involved me so that because I knew the procedures of the IRS, I could simply make sure that all the I's were dotted, all the T's were crossed, and that we followed procedures to the letter, because I'm sure you're aware that if you don't follow the procedures to the letter, they'll bounce you right out and say, oh, sorry, you missed this deadline or something like that. So that's all I did, was to be a good advocate for my client as a CPA, and the federal government turned that conduct into felony crimes. And, although I bellyache like everyone else about our erosion of our rights, thankfully, when you're charged criminally, number one, they have to get an indictment, so they have a grand jury of citizens that meet, and there's a lot of problems with that in terms of basically they can indict a ham sandwich.
Right.
If the prosecutor wants them to indict, they generally will. But you also have a jury trial, and I had a jury trial. So I was indicted in November of 2004, and my trial was in June of 2005 in Sacramento, California. And the trial lasted about a week, week and a half. And the jury acquitted me of all the counts. And no surprise to me, because all the evidence showed was that I was this, you know, gung-ho CPA who dotted every I and crossed every T and just tried to go to bat for my client and actually pursue the very remedy that the IRS tells the public they should pursue, right? Don't bellyache and not pay. Pay first and then bellyache, and we'll give you these procedures to follow. And that's exactly what we did. And they tried to turn that into a crime. And, it was pretty transparent that they were trying to just throw stuff on the wall and hope that it would stick.
Sure.
And meanwhile, they could discredit and silence me and send me to Club Fed for a few years. But fortunately, the jury was paying very close attention. And they could see that I was absolutely sincere, that I had done everything, you know, according to Hoyle and very legally, and they acquitted me. And the jury, even after the trial, they were saying to me, every time the government pulled out some evidence, it made you look even better. And I said, well, that's because most of that evidence came from my own work papers. I mean, the whole case was based on my own record keeping, and it showed that I was, you know, doing what any good CPA should do. So, you know, I definitely wouldn't wish that kind of a battle on my worst enemy. It was probably a couple $100,000 worth of legal fees. Thankfully, I had people all across the country that helped me shoulder that financial burden. I was basically just out about 7 months of time preparing for trial. But it's kind of like any big exam, you know, you'd rather overstudy than understudy.
Sure.
So it was really a group effort. I had people from all over the country helping financially and with prayers, and it just showed that the government was just one more of their dirty tricks to try to discredit somebody that had some credibility, who did the research and found that, you know what, I'm an investigator with these people, and I think they're lying to the public. And, you know, the IRS just can't stand that. It's like the old, this town ain't big enough for the both of us, and
oh, yeah,
kind of thing.
Well, now let me ask you this. Did any of the other IRS agents, did they find themselves in a similar predicament? Did they join the team, or any of them speaking out?
No, none that I worked with, but I did encounter some really phenomenal people. A guy named John Turner, who worked in the Sacramento office, unbeknownst to me, was learning about these facts and doing the research about the same time that I was. But his kids were grown, basically, and so he was able to get the picture in about 4 months. It took me about 2 years, because I was a soccer coach and had all these other, you know, fatherly and husbandly things to do. And John Turner. So, and then also a lady named Sherry Jackson from the Stone Mountain, Georgia area. She also, unbeknownst to me, had begun to look into these things. She was also a CPA. She spent about 8-9 years as a revenue agent with the IRS. There was an attorney that I met named Paul Chappell. He's actually deceased now, but he was elderly. He's been around so long that he was around in 1954 when they made the revisions to the Internal Revenue Code. He was there and helped write the laws, and he knew it to be a scam in his later years. So, you know, very credible people, and I've met all kinds of attorneys, CPAs, many of them, understandably, aren't real vocal about their belief, but plenty of very competent people, when they take the time to take a look at the evidence, they can see the government, the IRS, is absolutely lying to the American public about their income tax obligations.
This is absolutely incredible. It really is. Well, now, well, we've got a few minutes here. What do you make of this latest thing with the IRS targeting the Tea Party people and just really whomever they wish to silence?
Well, I think there's a two-pronged reason. One's more of a theory, and it's just based on my own experiences with the movement of people that know this truth about the income tax and are trying to do something about it. And then there's the, well, so let me see if I can dissect this. The one that most of the public is aware of, the, you know, kind of the left-right kind of paradigm where you've got the Obama, you know, Democrat machine, and then you have the, you know, right-wing kind of Republican people who are trying to form groups and, you know, instigate political action. Okay, so that's one area of conflict. But there's another area that I don't think the public's really aware of, and that is the IRS doing everything it can, and this has been going on for, you know, probably since World War II, to keep a lid on the movement of people who are trying to tell the public that, hey, it's more than just bugging tea parties and, you know, asking them ugly questions. The income tax system is, you know, massively applied beyond the authority of the statutory law. And so there's basically these two battles that the IRS has always been running. One of them is to keep a lid on the people that are saying, hey, this whole system is a scam. And then a more recent battle is this, oh, we're going to go after the Tea Party people and the people that, you know, are pro-Constitution and pro Bill of Rights and at least even the Americana kind of mentality, you know, where they realize that there's a Second Amendment, they realize there's a Bill of Rights, they realize there's a Constitution. And the administration does not like those kinds of groups germinating and growing politically. So that's what I think is going on. There's a two-pronged thing going on, and I think it's, you know, so there's plenty. If you keep scratching, you're going to find just both these battles going on at the same time.
Is it your opinion that if this thing isn't brought to a really loud crescendo, resulting in maybe some people stepping down, being fired, or maybe even being charged, that this could eventually morph into intimidation against, intimidation of, rather, political opponents?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I the thing I'm most afraid of is that this will be just another scandal that eventually will go away, and that people won't, you know, people get up in arms about it, but they'll forget and they'll move on to some other scandal, rather than recognizing the, you know, just how putrid the foundation of the whole system is, and start attacking that rather than just these periphery edges of it.
Gotcha.
That's my biggest fear.
All right. Let's take a little break here. We'll come back with Joseph R. Bannister in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I want to discuss with our guest tonight, Joseph R. Bannister, about all this arming up. He was trained in pistols and evasive driving and serving arrest warrants, shotgun, all of that stuff. And it appears the IRS is arming up. They're supposed to be the enforcement arm of the new Affordable Care Act, which, interestingly, what is happening is, as a result of this, the U.S. is producing abysmally low number of primary care doctors, and some doctors are dumping the health insurance plans and just charging patients less. Now, there's a novel idea. We'll get into that and a few more things, maybe even a few of your calls as the night goes on. Happy Father's Day, all you fathers out there. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Joe, I have a question for you. when this whole Obamacare thing went to the Supreme Court, the determination was is that under the Commerce Clause, it's not legal, but you could make it a tax. So does anybody have any data on who made it a tax?
Well, I believe that the there's a provision in there that there's a penalty, and the penalty being enforced by the IRS is, penalties, how do I say this? Penalties that people pay in connection with the income tax are considered an additional tax. And so because there's a penalty associated with Obamacare, if you do not, get the proper coverage and all of that, there's a penalty involved, and the IRS collects it. So they basically, put the whole camel into the tent, and the camel's nose was this penalty, or that they considered a tax, and then saying, well, they have the power to tax in that manner, and so that's how they're going to do it. I was flabbergasted when I heard that the Supreme Court ruled in that manner. I mean, it made sense that they would go towards a taxation reason, because obviously you can drive the biggest truck through that constitutional provision, because they say that, Congress has a plenary power to tax, but there's still limitations to what the Congress can do. Anyway, I was just flabbergasted that they actually said, the federal government can mandate you buying insurance coverage. I mean, it was just appalling.
I wonder how many people are not going to do it.
I hope that happens, but I mean, I just can't believe, there's this sprint to the finish line where I think they're trying to implement enough tyranny before enough of the people that realize something's going wrong, like say you or myself or our generation, once we die off, well then the next generation is that much less informed and that much less motivated and that much less in tune with what you have to do to defend a constitutional republic. And so I think maybe Obamacare is a great way to kind of help those of us who are constitutionally minded into the next life, so that we can't help fight this. But I hope that the American people, this Obamacare thing is where they've had enough. I mean, the provisions of that, you're going to have to tell the IRS how many people are in your house, when people come and go. So in other words, if you've got a child who comes in for 3 months and then leaves because they're going to try life on their own or go off to college, you're going to have to tell the government who's in your house and when they're in your house and for how long they're in your house and how much they make. And I mean, those are just a few of the provisions. You're going to have to report under penalty of perjury. It's a nightmare. And I just hope that people won't put up with it. But, the fact is, the people, all of us collectively, have been putting up with this income tax for all these decades, and we haven't gotten rid of that. And so I really think that the powers that be, there's that saying, was it Frederick Douglass or, that said you're going to get the amount of tyranny that you're willing to put up with. And I think that the powers that be say, well, we've been lying to the public about this income tax ever since 1913, and they're still putting up with it. So let's dish out a little more.
Well, and they're starting with the kids now at the academic level, or whatever you might call it, supposed to be the public school system. I don't know. I just I find so many things. I don't want to get too far afield because I'll get into a whole bunch of stuff here, and you may not want to get into any of it, but. When you have at the grade school level, well, America is being regarded by parts of the world as being unfair, and they're more rich than other countries, and this is hurting people's feelings, and there is clearly a war on people who believe in Christ. I understand the FBI is not can't approach a mosque and do any investigation there. Yes. This is well known. The Department of Homeland Security is arming to the teeth. Even the Congress is going, what do you need all this ammo for? And in fact, what I started into a while ago and naming off the training that you'd had and weapons and so forth. I can understand why you'd need to operate a shooting iron. The guys that operate the stills up there in the hills, we're always talking about them revenueers. Or get their shotguns out and start shooting at the federal guys who were trying to tear up those stills. But
right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I was saying right. I mean that, you know, that there's, I don't begrudge that the law enforcement people have to carry firearms, but
no, me either.
There's a whole bunch of weird stuff that's gone on with the authority for IRS agents to carry firearms, and again, I think it goes back to this bastard child kind of existence that the IRS has had since the beginning, and that square peg and round hole. You know, ATF agents have a statutory authority that Congress actually passed a law that said ATF agents can carry firearms. But there's no law like that for IRS special agents. And in fact, the authority for the IRS agents to carry firearms is, I believe it's some Treasury attorney who made an opinion. And that opinion is the authority for the agents to carry. So here the Congress thought that it was necessary to pass a law to enable ATF agents to carry a firearm, but there is no such law for IRS agents, and it's only a Treasury attorney's opinion that was needed to enable the IRS agents to carry. So there's a whole big story there, which I won't go down the rabbit hole with, but there are just numerous indications that the government's lying to the people, again, about the application, the scope, and nature of the federal income tax. I don't know if you knew that there were actually two criminal investigation components in the IRS. You know, you'd think one would be enough, but they actually had two during the time that I worked there. And the division that I worked in, which was called the Criminal Investigation Division, when you looked in the Internal Revenue Manual, which was basically the Bible about, you know, what you can and can't do, it said explicitly that the extent of my authority was to investigate citizens living and working abroad, not domestically.
Well, it's interesting. This representative, Jeff Duncan, he's a Republican out of South Carolina. He says, it's been bugging me for weeks now why IRS agents are training with the AR-15. And I think Americans raise eyebrows when you tell them IRS agents are training with the type of weapon that has standoff capability. It's not like they're carrying a sidearm, knocking on somebody's door saying you're evading your taxes. But then the IRS defended the training, just saying that the IRS criminal investigation special agents are equipped similarly to other federal, state, and local law enforcement organizations. And controls and oversight are in place to ensure all enforcement tools, including weapons, are used appropriately. So that's like a non-answer. Do you find that this, you know, we just heard that that Assad has killed 100 or 150 people with chemical weapons. Okay, here we go. That's it. These crossed the red line. What about the other 90,000 or so that have been killed? Do you find this timing suspicious that these scandals are all coming down at the same time? And so it's like, okay, let's get it on. Let's go to Syria.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I, you know, of course, as I get older, I learn more about how to be politically savvy, or at least how politics really works. And you'd think that the elementary thought would be that, oh, you know, they must be just horrified that they have this IRS scandal and this NSA scandal. But then you realize that they're so much more sophisticated than that. They actually like diversionary scandals to keep everybody chasing their tails, because they know that a good IRS scandal will keep everyone chasing their tails, and ultimately nothing will really get done about it, at least if you look at history as your guide. Meanwhile, they're, you know, raping and pillaging abroad, and, you know, everybody's so busy with the domestic issues that they can, you know, go on and do what they really wanted to do in the Middle East. So you're absolutely right. You know, it's amazing how cunning these politicians and so-called leaders are.
It's amazing how nobody knows anything up there. NSA guy, FBI guy, the IRS lady. Well, I take the fifth, but I didn't do nothing. You know, It's just like, what did you say? You didn't do nothing. That means you did something. In fact, it means you did everything. So what are you talking about here?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's kind of sad that I, you know, that the agency, there's a lot of good people, you know, that work in the federal government. I mean, I still talk to some of them. But it's just sad that there's so little accountability, especially in the IRS. I mean, you may have read the recent more of those Treasury Inspector General reports coming out where the IRS agents would bounce checks on the credit cards for their government travel, and they would charge personal expenses, and there would be no retribution, no accountability. You know, in my experience, if somebody did something bad, they'd get transferred or promoted or both, just to kind of sweep it under the rug. And, you know, they really would experience almost no repercussions for bad conduct. And, you know, if you have a population of people who have their own moral compass, then you've got a prayer, because then people are going to police themselves. But if you have the kind of people who will only be policed by getting in trouble, well, the federal government's not a good place for those people, because you can just, you know, wreak havoc. I mean, you've probably read about how many IRS employees don't file tax returns, how they cheat on their taxes, they cheat on their expense reports. It just goes on and on and on.
No, people up in government, up in Washington, there was a deal that kind of popped up on the screen for a little while and then dropped right on off about all these people that are working in Washington every day in government that just haven't filed in a long time.
Right. And Geithner and, you know, them, I forget his name, but I mean, just all the different revolving door of people that when they get on the grilling stand for a Senate confirmation, and then you find out that, you know, well, they haven't filed for years, or, oh, I didn't know that was taxable. And, you know, meanwhile, it's practically all of what they made for the last 5 or 10 years. It really is sad about how they must really have disdain and, you know, think that the public is pretty stupid, because it's amazing the gumption, you know, the brazenness that they go about breaking the public's trust and doing what they do. And I don't know, I expect a little more out of people to work in the government, but apparently most of the public doesn't.
Yeah, it's just, again, not to get too far afield, but it just seems like there is a combination of elements that are making for a really ugly scenario, from the Agenda 21 thing. You see it all over the country now. You go to these big cities and you find that it's more and more, I can't remember who described it on the program, I wish I could, so I could quote him properly, that said, our cities are turning into just a collection of little Times Squares where you can eat, sleep, drink, eat, exercise. I think I said eat twice, which in the case of Americans and the obesity problem, that seems to be, they're doubling down on their food. The high fructose corn syrup and all the other stuff that's bad for you. But anyway, becoming these huge apartment cities. Everybody's jammed in where you can actually perform all of your activities right there in one space. And not only that, but the grid is being reorganized to the point that any of these areas can be absolutely locked down, no way in, no way out, very, very easily. And when you see this, and when you see DHS arming up, and you see the IRS arming up even more, I mean, I understand that the various local, state, and government agencies have to be armed. I mean, if the good guys, with quotes around it, aren't more serious to deal with than the bad guys, then why should the bad guys be worried about it?
Right, but then, as you say, when it's a billion bullets, when 100 million would have done fine, or, you know, the amount of spying, the spying is focused on the American people as opposed to the bad guys trying to come in and wreak havoc, it doesn't take too many dots to connect. And, of course, this is what I mean, just would hope, and I'm so grateful that you do what you do, to try to get people to wake up out of their trance. And Stop being worried that somebody's going to accuse you of being a conspiracy theorist. I mean, wake up and look around. The dots are being connected all around you. The spider web is all around us. And this is not some coincidence. The taxation, the scrutiny of our lives, of our medical lives, every aspect of your life is going to be monitored. And is that really what you want? I mean, that's where we're going. So I hope that's what people like.
You remember that omnibus crime bill that got passed back in, I think, 1994? It was like 3,000 and some pages long. That thing is so full of nuance that it literally, it's just amazing. Somebody sent an email a while ago that said, look, they're only looking for people that are trying to do stuff that's wrong. If you don't have anything, if you're not doing anything wrong, then you don't have anything to worry about. It's like, yeah. The problem is they can make it appear that you've done something wrong, even if you hadn't. And in fact, that omnibus crime bill, I don't really know whatever became of that thing. I presume it's law. But again, it's a presumption because I never heard another thing about it after it was passed. And yet that thing contains language that literally makes every citizen in this nation guilty of something. And it's just weird, you know. It is Orwellian. I don't care if Napolitano says this is not an Orwellian state. The hell it isn't. Yes, it is. Sorry, go ahead. I'm ranting.
No. Well, better you than me, because I absolutely agree. I mean, Napolitano commenting that you know, this is not an nowhere near. I forget how she actually said it, but it's interesting how the words that they use. It's almost like they're dancing around. Really telling you that, well, you know, it's not Orwellian, you know, yet. I mean, we still have a long way to go before it could be something like that, even though all the plans are already, you know, written down. It's just a matter of being implemented. And one happy note, I guess, is that in these last 12 years or so since I left the IRS, I'm definitely seeing a huge uptick in people waking up. And I think with Obamacare and the you know, the NSA scandal, the IRS scandal, it's encouraging. I don't know if we'll make it in time, but I do see a real uptick in people waking up, and young people too, which is good.
I got many more questions for you. And we've got another hour to go, so let's take our network break here, do a little news, a few commercials, stuff like that. Give everybody a chance to walk around maybe a little bit, stretch your legs, so forth. Make the proverbial proper cup of tea or whatever you want. And come back and join us. Our guest tonight hadn't been on here since December 2nd, 2007? Yes, Joseph R. Bannister. We shall return. This is Coast to Coast AM.